Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at the Beginner Runner Village with podcast number 5, Buying Running Shoes. I realize that one of your first concerns is likely to be about running shoes. You know, runners don't need very much equipment, almost nothing, but one of the things you have to have is a good pair of shoes. So today, we'll get down to some specifics. First, let me dispel a myth. You don't need to spend a pile of money. Since you won't be doing many miles for a while, you can certainly get by with shoes that cost between $50 and $75. If you want to spend more, that's fine, but you don't really need to. I always recommend that you go to a running specialty store, though, and they may only have the more expensive models that cost from $80 to $100 or more, depending on the size of the store and the variety of shoes they carry. So, really, the best reason to spend a little more on shoes is to have the benefit of being fitted by someone who knows what they're doing. When you go to a big box store, it's much less likely that the salesperson will have much expertise. And that's if you can actually find someone to give you any personal attention. On the flip side, they will have many more lower-end shoes. So, if you really need to stick to a budget, you'll find many more options there. Whatever you do, don't buy online. Not now. Later on, after you know what you like, what style works for you, and what size, then you can do that. However, I really think it's important to support local running specialty stores because they provide lots of services to the running community. We need them. Here are just some of the ways we benefit. 1. They will do a gait analysis, which will be extremely helpful in getting you fitted in the right shoes. 2. Many will give you a money-back guarantee. 3. You need a relationship with a running store. You'll need it over the years. So start getting to know these people now. Running specialty stores can be a huge resource for all runners. They're a great place to go for advice regarding the best places to run in your area, local running coaches and programs, where to get a good sports massage, and many such things. 4. The employees will generally be much more knowledgeable than the people who work in the big box stores. 5. Most running shoe stores hold weekly group runs. This is a great way for you to meet and run with other people. 6. They host sign-up parties for races. 7. If they don't have the specific shoe you want, they'll usually order it. And 8. Most running stores will let you run a few laps around their parking lot to try out the shoes. All that said, for the first several weeks, you can get by with a $50 pair of shoes that you get from any store. If you don't want, at this point, to make a larger monetary commitment. When you think about it, though, you'll probably want a better pair of shoes 6 weeks from now, so you might want to go ahead and spend more now. Remember, you're in this for the long haul. The key is to find shoes that work for you. There are several considerations. 1, they must be comfortable. That probably goes without saying. 2, you don't want to wear more shoe than you need. This is a big deal. Some shoes are big, heavy clunkers with a thick heel and lots of support in the upper. The upper is the part that covers the top of your foot. Very few runners actually need these big shoes. This may come as a surprise because many people, especially those new to running, think that the more shoe they buy, the better. They think if they spend more money to buy highly supportive shoes, that must be better. Well, that's not actually true, at least not necessarily, and I'll explain why. When you wear highly supportive shoes, the effect is that your feet, or more specifically, the muscles in your feet, get lazy because the highly supportive shoes do much of the work. We don't want that. Since I'll be starting you off with very, very low mileage, your feet will have time to get strong. I'll also have you doing exercises to strengthen your feet because strong feet are essential to preventing foot problems like plantar fasciitis and many others. Have you ever thought about that? Yes, like I said, my program is much different from the usual Couch to 5K program because it includes this kind of attention to detail. I look at the whole runner and what we can do to ensure your success. I want all your muscles to be strong. Whenever you strengthen your muscles, You run with more control and better running economy. Your muscles are doing the work instead of your bones and joints being stressed. This is critical because it will go a long way to prevent injury. So I hope you can see why I want you to have strong feet. I will have a video posted on the Beginner Runner Village page soon that shows a variety of exercises for your feet, by the way. The point is that you don't need to spend a lot on shoes, and you should not be thinking that spending more, beyond a point, necessarily, means getting better shoes. Don't get me wrong, the $50 shoes aren't as good as the $100 shoes. But for the mileage you'll be doing, the $100 shoes aren't needed if you'd rather save the money. On the other hand, definitely there are a lot of great shoes that cost around $100 to $150. Don't get me wrong. Some of them are very good shoes, and some of them are not highly supportive. The newer, most advanced technologies sometimes just cost more, but there's some great shoes in that price range as well. When you shop for shoes, tell the person in the shoe store that you want them to analyze your gait. Now, a word about shoe store employees. Most running shoe specialty stores have helpful, knowledgeable employees. But even the best stores sometimes have an employee who is, shall we say, not the best, someone who is not particularly helpful or knowledgeable. If the employee starts trying to sell you on the shoes, saying, "This is what I wear," be wary. That's not necessarily a bad thing. It's good for them to know about and have experience with lots of different shoes. But make sure the salesperson has a good knowledge of the various shoes and is someone who will pay close attention to you and what you need. Later on, we're going to talk about drop. If you ask about the drop of a particular shoe and the salesperson says, "What's drop?" you need to find another store or at least find someone more knowledgeable to help you, because that's a sign that that particular person's knowledge is, well, let's just say it's not up to date. It's probably 2 or 3 years old. And another thing, do not be intimidated by running store employees. This happens a lot. If you get waited on by a 20-year-old who acts superior because he or she was or is an elite runner, do not let them intimidate you. Tell them what you want. If you don't like their attitude, get help from someone else or go to another store or go back to that store on another day and make sure you talk to the store manager about it. Seriously, this really does happen a lot. Newer runners are easily intimidated, but I don't want that to happen and it needn't happen. I've discussed it with several of my friends who are running store managers and owners. They don't like it, and when it happens, they want to know about it. You, beginner runners, are their bread and butter, and the owners and managers know it. They want you happy. You're a potential customer for the rest of your life, and that's of huge importance to their success. They need you. So, expect to be treated well and accept nothing less. If you ever have a bad experience in any running store, talk to the manager. Now, let me give you an idea of what to look for. 1. The employee should ask you how much running you do. Be truthful here. Tell this person you're just starting out and you are not even running a mile yet. But that your coach, and that's me, I hope, has encouraged you to get your gait analyzed. They may tell you that you overpronate or underpronate, or they may use the term neutral. Now, don't let that upset you if they say you overpronate or underpronate. Pronation is normal. If you pronate a little more or less than normal, and I'm putting that word in air quotes, that's not a big deal. Think about it. You've been getting by until now. Your body has adjusted to the way you walk. And any major correction could actually cause problems. On the other hand, if your gait is severely different from normal, and by normal I mean average, you may do better with shoes that are what we call stability or motion control. And there are some that only have a little bit of motion control or are a little bit for stability. Just know that studying your gait will help the salesperson put you in the right shoe. Most importantly, if you are more of an overpronator and you were to do the shopping on your own, you might choose a shoe designed for an underpronator. Think about it. This is where you can get into trouble, because to do this would magnify the effect of the overpronation and cause problems that are created just by wearing the wrong shoe. I've seen this happen. There are plenty of what I would call middle-of-the-road shoes that will be appropriate for the great majority of runners. Do tell the salesperson that you do not want a big, heavy shoe, even if you're a larger person. You do want some cushioning, but I always want you to have plenty of cushioning. And you may want some more support than a smaller person, but don't let them push you into a massive shoe. This is critical because historically, running shoe store employees tend to put heavier people in beefy, very supportive shoes, and this is not always a good idea. I don't want them putting you in a big, heavy, supportive, stiff, chunky-heeled shoe just because that's what they've always done. That's not a good reason. I don't want you in more shoe than you need. I've got people in my running group, men who weigh over 200 pounds, who wear Vibram Five Fingers. Those are what's called barefoot shoes. Essentially, they provide no support. Their only purpose is to protect the foot. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't recommend anyone try those shoes unless they have excellent running form, are extremely vigilant about maintaining good form throughout the whole run, have been running for a while, and transition into them very carefully. Really, while I believe those are good shoes, I think only about 5% of the running population has any business wearing them. I mentioned the man in the group only to make a point that just because you're large doesn't mean you need big, massive shoes. Also, tell the employee that you don't want too much drop. What that means is that you don't want a thick heel. You may think that's odd. You may have thought that a shoe with a thick heel would be far better because it would cushion your heel. Well, you may have been heel striking when that person looked at your gait, but I'm going to teach you to land on your midfoot when you run. And by that I mean landing with your whole foot hitting the ground at the same time. A thick heel will actually get in your way and make it much harder to land on your midfoot because that hefty heel will touch the ground before the rest of your foot. And we definitely don't want that. I recommend going with about a 4 or on up to a 10 millimeter drop. Lower is better, but you may need to adjust. 10 is on the high side still, but there are some great shoes with 9 and 10 millimeter drop, and you may want to try these. The drop is the difference between the height of the heel off the ground and the height of the forefoot off the ground. So if the shoe has a higher drop, that means it has a higher heel. One caveat, though. If you're a woman and accustomed to wearing high heels a lot, if you wear them to work, for example, then you probably should start with a running shoe that has a higher heel. However, even then, I recommend moving down to incrementally lower heels every time you buy a new pair of running shoes over the next couple of years. And I also recommend wearing heels as little as possible because they're bad for you. And having your feet in high heels a lot will increase the likelihood of any foot problem. If you have any problems with your feet or lower legs, as a general rule, I'd see a good podiatrist to get their input. And by good podiatrist, I mean one who specializes in working with runners, preferably one who is a runner. Here again is an example of where a good specialty running store comes in handy. Ask them to recommend a podiatrist. You want one who understands running and runners. Many times new runners ask me, what's a good brand of shoe? Well, all the major brands make good shoes, but some models are better than others, and you'll find some work much better for you than others. You'll have a favorite in no time. Don't expect to like a shoe just because you like the way it looks or because it works well for a friend. Brooks, Adidas, Asics, Saucony, Nike, Mizuno, On, Ultra, and Pearl Izumi are all good manufacturers. I'm a particular fan of the Brooks Pure Flow line. They offer several options and all are around 4 millimeter drop. Adidas has a new Energy line that I like as well. They have more drop, but still keep it under 10 millimeters. Saucony actually tells you the drop inside the shoe. I like that they put a lot of emphasis on this. When you go into the running shoe store, be sure to tell them two specific things. You want a shoe that has a lower drop than traditional shoes. This is important because otherwise they'll almost always fit new runners with traditional, highly supportive shoes. This will, by the way, eliminate half of the shoes in the store because most running shoe stores still stock lots of the old-fashioned traditional shoes with thick heels. The other thing is that you want a shoe with plenty of cushion. To have these two combinations will limit you to about a quarter of the shoes in the store. That's fine. Unless your gait analysis reveals a severe issue, it's a good place to start. If the person analyzing your gait feels you absolutely need something else, then give it a try. You can always move to something less traditional later on, and I expect you'll want to. Ask the salesperson to check the length, of course. When buying running shoes, you usually want to buy at least a half size larger, and more often you'll need a full size larger than what you normally wear. You can fine-tune the fit with laces, too. Most people don't realize it, but there are multiple ways to lace shoes to fine-tune the way they fit. For example, if you have a narrow heel, there's a way to change the way you lace the top part to hug your heel better. There's a different way to lace your shoes that actually lifts up the area at the top of the toe box, the part over your toes, which is helpful if you find that the shoe rubs there. Always remember to wear the socks that you'll be running in when you go to purchase your running shoes. And do make sure you have good socks that don't have bulky seams. Those seams can easily cause blisters. It makes no sense to buy good running shoes and then sacrifice comfort or fit by wearing poor quality socks. You can buy good socks in all thicknesses. The socks at the running store are expensive, but it's better to have 3 pair of good socks than a dozen pair of cheap ones. You will notice the difference, and you can get good socks at big box stores too, but the price will be about the same actually. Also, it's good to buy your shoes late in the day because your feet will swell during the day. One pair of shoes is plenty for now, but later on, you'll want to have 2 pair and alternate between them. If the person in the shoe store tries to sell you expensive inserts, don't buy them. Try to get along with the inserts that come in the shoes, because those auxiliary super supports they sell are probably more than you need. Remember, we want your feet to operate the way they're naturally designed to operate. If you decide you'd like to try inserts, you can always get them later on. I like for you to test out the shoes without special inserts or supports first. If you don't have any problems, why add them? If the topic of running shoes is of particular interest to you, you may want to listen to the 3-part series I did on running shoes on my Mojo for Running podcast. I go into much more detail in that series. Altogether, I think I probably talked for 90 minutes about shoes. So that's a lot of information. That's all for this podcast. If you have questions about shoes or anything else, email me, and I'll try to answer your question in a future podcast. The address is deb@beginnerrunnervillage.com, or use the SpeakPipe on the website. The SpeakPipe works in this way. You'll see it on the side of the website, on the edge, and when you click on it, it'll shoot out to the middle of the screen. There is a record button. You actually record your question, and then I can play it back during a later podcast. Now for today's quote. Inaction breeds doubt and fear. Action breeds confidence and courage. If you want to conquer fear, do not sit home and think about it. Go out and get busy. Dale Carnegie.